Our guest today, Punch Brothers, are the new outlet for the talents of Chris Thiele, the mandolin-playing member of Nickel Creek, who disbanded after playing together since the three members were kids. Punch Brothers are a five-piece, and what they do is a little hard to explain, so we'll let Chris Thiele take a stab at it.
It looks like a bluegrass band, sometimes sounds a little bit like a string quintet, but it also, you know, it'll go anywhere in between, though not on purpose, necessarily.
Now, you've actually been playing with these people for a while. Your last solo album was this group as well?
That was us sort of finding our footing. You know, I think in one way or another, we're most familiar with that sort of thing, that How to Grow a Woman from the Ground was kind of a bluegrass, but you know, contemporary bluegrass. And this is we actually had started working on this piece, and that was the reason that we kind of came together, or on this record. The piece is sort of what the record is anchored to, but we about halfway through we realized that we should let's put out something a little bit more. I don't know, a little bit more of a sure bet or something first, just to make sure we can make music together and put it out and tour it and all that kind of thing. And then we resumed work on this and polished it off.
Well, the piece you're talking about is the Blind Leading the Blind, which is a four-piece composition that, we'll talk about that in a second, about what it's about, because there's a lot going on there. But then you put some other compositions, which are group compositions, or how did they come about?
Yeah, everything on the record that's not the piece was co-written, and the piece also is composed with everybody's individual input in mind. A great deal of it is through composed, but there are a lot of sections that read more like a jazz lead sheet would, or like if you wrote out a fiddle tune arrangement, you know, with, you know, now you solo. Now you do what you do. And those parts are kind of weave in and out of completely written out stuff and more of the do what you do kind of thing.
Well, there's a short, punchy tune that begins this called Punch Bowl. Maybe you can begin with that one.
We would be delighted. A song about the dangers of being too familiar with the punch bowl.
She'll remember nothing, so
Our guest today on the Cafe, Punch Brothers, five musicians playing as one. Gabe Witcher on the violin, Noam Pokelny on the banjo, Greg Garrison's on the bass, Chris Eldridge on guitar, and Chris Thiele on the mandolin. And that is a piece that actually begins Punch, the album, and it's called Punch Bowl. A lot of punching going on here.
A lot of punching.
Explain the genesis of the band's name.
Well, that's it's lifted from a Mark Twain short story called Punch Brothers Punch, which is a real funny thing. That it's a poem that Twain finds in the story. He actually tells it in the first person, and it takes complete possession of him. He can't speak without this poem coming out, and it sort of directs all of his thoughts and is basically in the process of ruining his life until he passes it off on a friend, and the burden is lifted and descends with all of its evil weight on his friend, and takes the friend's life over until the friend passes it off.
One of the things that's most interesting about how Punch Brothers are recorded today is we've had Del McCurry here gathered around one microphone. You guys are using a pair of stereo mics, which is how your album was recorded as well, or something similar, in terms of capturing the room.
Right.
Now, why is that important to the process for you guys?
Well, I think we want to make sure that, that there's actually the danger if you have, I guess, if you have the opportunity, the option to overdub, and you give that option to a whole bunch of perfectionists, it's just so dangerous what can happen. You know, you'll suck all the life out of your music getting it perfect. You know, and so originally when we cut How to Grow a Woman from the Ground around a two Telefunken 251s and absolutely nothing else, that was the goal. When we went into the studio for this, we realized we needed a little. The music is complex enough to where we actually feel like we needed the room to kind of be our sixth man and give us a little help. You know, kind of smooth the edges and maybe just cover up some of the. You don't want to hear everything all the time, and a good classical recording is typically a good example of that.
Now the album, the centerpiece, as you mentioned, is a piece called The Blind Leading the Blind, which I understand it was the genesis of getting together in some ways, but it was also kind of documents of a lot of change, Chris, in your life. I mean, people may think that, breaking up Nickel Creek was a big change, but there was a lot more going on in your life as well.
There was certainly, I was dealing with the ramifications of my divorce and, which sort of presented themselves in the form of just all sorts of doubt and self-examination, sometimes much too close. I guess the piece is sort of calling attention to the importance of strong friendships and strong family relationships. Ultimately, even as it's calling a lot of things into question, it's never like an indictment on the things that it's calling into question, but more like an indictment on my relationship to them. And that being said, it's not always a personal account. You know, things have to rhyme and things have to be entertaining. So I took some license with the whole process.
It's not all Joni Mitchell, you mean? We're not. So, okay. Well, now how should we approach this? Do you want to play some of the longer piece?
Yeah. So we'll do the last, say, 4.5 minutes of it, which we affectionately refer to as red-handed.
Doesn't look good, but he does what he can to live.
Conclusion of the first movement of The Blind Leading the Blind is played by Punch Brothers, who are playing live today. And we're talking between movements. We're not supposed to do this on a semi-classical piece, but we will.
And we'll applaud ourselves.
You know, I'm sitting here listening to this, and I'm thinking it's actually a question I could probably ask any one of you, but I'll ask Chris Thiele. This music might well be easier to compose on another instrument than the mandolin. Do you ever feel constrained by your choice of instruments?
Incredibly so. Yeah, I really, at one point during my youth, my parents encouraged me to take up the piano just to kind of supplement the mandolin playing, and it was the first time ever that they'd really tried to kind of gently nudge me in something musical. I just kind of flown to the mandolin and had really taken off with it. And I really railed against, you know, their suggestion. And I wish now that I hadn't, because I feel like I really have to fight to think contrapuntally. And also I've noticed that I have a tendency to write up high. Like I have to get, you know, bring myself down an octave a lot of the time.
It's interesting that you jump from a group to a group in a way. What led Nickel Creek to actually call it quits and then you jump into another group?
Well, I think that Nickel Creek had been together when all was played and done. We were together for, I think, 18 years. And that's a good long time to be in a band. And, you know, I felt like we recorded Why Should the Fire Die and toured behind it and then couldn't really figure out what to do and, you know, what to do next. And I had started playing with these guys. We'd started, working on the big piece and, you know, I think the beginnings of the other songs that are on the new record, you know, that was just starting to come down the pike there. And then it just all kind of seemed like the right time. You know, Sean and Sarah and I still love playing music together. But you know, if you don't really see your way to the next thing, you shouldn't just blindly keep, you know, pursuing it. You don't know what you're looking for, you know.
I would think that the very success of the band would kind of lead to a lot of pressure towards continuing things nonetheless, even if you guys weren't
any band that gets to, you know, a certain level, not that Nickel Creek was, you know, on the top rung or anything, but it becomes kind of a cumbersome machine, you know, and it becomes a little bit, I don't know, it's just unwieldy. I think we all of a sudden, it was just the five of us really, really clicked. You know, and Sean and Sarah have other stuff that they want to do and that they're really good at doing that Nickel Creek wasn't, you know, really servicing at all. So I think it's great for the three of us. And also, you know, once you don't want to start forcing anything, because then that's when the relationships can become strained. And as it is, you know, we love each other and it's great. And we can go off and do what we want to do most.
Well, tell you what, I think we're going to move into another movement now from Blind Leading the Blind. Chris, maybe explain a little bit about the arc of the story that goes with this.
Sure. Well, it starts with the breakup. It doesn't say anything about, you know, Punch Bowl is actually the nearest it comes to saying anything about the cause or anything. But even that's very vague, and I'm not really sure what happened. It kind of launches right into the aftermath, which is, you know, in what you just heard, you know, that's sort of me feeling, you know, or the character based on me. Kind of feels like people will just automatically assume that it's my fault, particularly as the man and a traveling man at that. And so there was that kind of feeling like people were accusing, you know, just not knowing really just how in what sort of confusion that throws you. And so then the second movement kind of deals with you know, almost the psychological self-medication that happens after that. And then the third movement is just sort of now on the upswing, realizing, oh wait, there's a certain freedom that all this presents, and kind of a shot to try some new things. And
that's where we're picking things up.
That's
now?
Where we're basically picking things up, and that has resulted. We're not going to do the 6 minutes during which that sort of thing is played around with, but rather right after that, this is sort of a short. Well, lyrically, a short pleading with God to be allowed to stop thinking about the afterlife. And then before that, there's a lot of playing. And after that, there's some more playing. So this is the conclusion of the third movement.
Thank you.
The five-piece Punch Brothers playing a piece of the third movement of The Blind Leading the Blind, the piece that is the centerpiece of the album called Punch, which is out on Nunsuch Records. And congratulations on the album, and thank you so much for playing live today.
Thanks for having us, David.
Punch Brothers are our guests, and we'll be back in a moment here on the World Cafe.